I'm going to give you a few facts here. Scientists have recently estimated that there are approximately 8.7 million species on Earth, and 7 million of those are animals. Now, of course, animals does include smaller things that we didn't get onto, like creatures that roll about in the undergrowth and in the soil, you know, bacteria as well, any living creatures that are not plants. Plants, though, it says there are about 391,000 species of plants currently known to science, according to a report by the Royal Botanical Gardens in Kew. And about astronomy, this is just a little few little facts here. The Hubble telescope reveals an estimated 100 billion galaxies. Now, our galaxy is what? What's the name of our galaxy?
Milky Way.
Milky Way, yeah. You see sometimes end on, you see it end on. It's a big circular thing, like a cartwheel really, a spinning wheel. But there are 100 billion of those possibly, and it says it might increase to 200 billion as telescopes improve. Now, we didn't get to even start on those numbers of things, did we? I think probably of all the animals, plants, insects, snakes, fish, and astronomical objects, we probably got not more than about 100 in this room today. But there are thousands and billions of them. That's very noisy. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the Bible says that Jesus is the creator. Now, you may not have noticed this before, but this is what it says. Now, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus, right? In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Can you turn this down just a little bit, please, John? Right? Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. That is an amazing fact. And maybe you've not thought about it before, because we tend to think of God the Father as the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Of course. But it says that through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And look at this other passage in Colossians. Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth. The things we can see and the things we can't. That is an amazing statement that you may never have thought about before. Absolutely amazing. That Jesus is the creator of all we see. If you walk on Royal Promenade and look out over the sea, who made it? Jesus. Look at the sky, the clouds. Who made those things? Jesus. Who made the great orb? Jesus. Who made the seashells on the beach? Jesus made those things. Jesus is a creator. All things were made by Christ for his own use and glory. So there's a picture of some of the things that we've talked about. Well, there's a song that you may never notice that bit of that line. The great creator became my savior. So that's who Jesus is. So that's the first thing we've looked at today. Jesus the creator. Secondly, I want us to look at Jesus the go-between. Now, has anyone here met anyone really famous? I know there's one person. We've got a picture of one of our congregation today meeting Tom Hanks. Who could that be, I wonder? Who could that be? And if you ask him, he has the pictures of famous people that David has met. Here he is with his arm around Tom Hanks. But anyone else met anyone really famous? Okay. Prince William and Kate, okay. Neil.
You may not think it, but Dr. Gary Parker.
Dr. Gary Parker, okay, quite famous, yes, okay. Anyone else met anyone famous? Rachel.
The Queen.
You met the Queen?
Yeah, long ago when I was a little girl.
Okay, right. Anybody else? Yes, okay. Oh, okay, right. He's met Jeremy Corbyn, yeah. Yes. Penny. Who?
Princess Anne.
Princess Anne, okay. Well, we haven't met many famous people. I actually, at long distance, held the president of Brazil's hand. And there was a big crowd, you know, and sort of he was shaking a few hands. And I said, he shook my hand, which I didn't wash for 5 days afterwards. But anyway, if you're famous, here's a few people famous. No one's met Trumpy, have they? No? Okay, right. Famous people like this, they are basically quite concerned to protect themselves, and so they try and get limited access to who they are. And to help them to get limited access, they use minders, bodyguards, they sentries, heavies and patrols, all kinds of different people to protect them and to keep the ordinary riffraff like us away from them, right? And to keep dangerous people away from them as well. So, if you want to meet someone famous, you need to have someone to help you. You need a contact, right? Or you need a go-between. You need a middleman. You need an agent. You need a friend of a friend who knows somebody famous. You need an intermediate. You need a mediator. You need someone with contacts or a fixer. You've got to get somebody to help you, unless you're very lucky and you happen to meet them on the street, which is not very likely. So you need one of these things to meet one of these people, and you might get the chance. It is possible, as David has shown, to meet famous people. He's got some more of his pictures if you ask him afterwards. Okay. So we also need a go-between between people and God Almighty. We need someone to go between us. Now, we're going to be thinking about that just now because it goes right back to the old days of the Old Testament. And this is a picture of how people couldn't really meet God. They had this tent in the desert, and there were two important parts. They had the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was, and separating the rest of the tent from the rest of the people and the rest of the world was this curtain. And the curtain sort of acted as a separation, a barrier between the people and God. And I'm going to ask my two curtain carriers to come up just now, because we've got a curtain here. I'm just going to ask them to hold it up. There we go. Hold it up high. I hope your arms won't... There you go. Right. That's it. Yeah, as high as you can. There we are. And stretch your arms a bit. Right, okay. So there was this curtain in the temple, in the tent. And on this side were the people. And on that side, which they couldn't get through to, was the Holy of Holies. It's interesting because the temple followed the same pattern as the tent. There was the Holy of Holies at the back when Solomon built his temple, and there was a curtain in between again. So this separated, it was a dividing line, a sort of a barrier between the two. This is what it says in Hebrews 9. The first promise God made included a tent for worship here on earth. The tent was divided by a curtain. Behind the curtain in the tent was the most holy place. The priests went there each day into the first part of the tent to do their duties. However, only the high priest could go into the second part of the tent behind the curtain, and he only went in once a year. Each time he carried blood to offer for his sins and for any sins that the people of God, the people had committed without meaning to. So, the big tent, the big curtain in the temple, on one side of the people, on the other side, the Holy of Holies. It was a dividing line, a barrier between the people and God. And only the high priest could go in once a year. That was the limit. The people were separated from God by this huge curtain. Now, the interesting thing is that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. It says, at the moment when Jesus died on the cross, this huge curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Wow. Thank you. It was torn in two from top to bottom and opened a way up to God. Christ came, it says, as the high priest of the good things that are now here. He also went into a much better tent that wasn't made by humans and that doesn't belong to this world. Then Christ went once for all into the most holy place and freed us from sin forever. He did this by offering his own blood. And again, it says in Hebrews, my friends, the blood of Jesus gives us courage to enter the most holy place by a new way that leads to life. And this way takes us through the curtain that is Christ himself. So Jesus is the only go-between between God and people, between us and God Almighty. Look what Jesus himself said in this context. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the go-between. And again, it says in another passage in Timothy, for there is one God and one go-between, one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So that is the second amazing thing, that Jesus is the go-between. Praise God. So he's Jesus the creator who made everything we see. Jesus the go-between, the one mediator between God and ourselves. And Jesus is also the clothes giver. What on earth does that mean? Well, here's a picture of actually the Bulgarian ambassador presenting his credentials to the Queen. He's dressed up quite nicely there. He's got a proper morning suit with tails, a tie, a handkerchief in his pocket, and a nice white shirt, looking very good as he goes to see the Queen. Here's another lady who's been at a presentation, also nicely dressed up with something in her hair there. These guys obviously have some kind of official position and they're dressed up in their uniforms and their proper regalia when they go to see the Queen. And here's some boys that you might recognize. They're all dressed up to go and see the Queen. Now, when we appear before God Almighty, who is pure and holy, what clothes could we wear? What clothes will we have that we could wear? Just imagine you're standing before Almighty God. There's the pearly gates. I don't know if they look like that, but there's a picture of the pearly gates. When God looks at us at the pearly gates, what will he see? What will he see? So when we come to God, we find that our lives are like dirty and worn out clothes. Isaiah says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we put on the prized robes of our own righteousness, we find they are but filthy rags. So when we come before God, we can't sort of say, I'm a good person, I did this, I did that, you have to let me in. We look at our stuff, and in comparison with Jesus, in comparison with God, our own clothes are all like filthy rags that we cannot stand in his presence. But this is the interesting thing that it says in the Bible. Come on. When you were baptized, it was though you had put on Christ in the same way that you put on new clothes. And I've brought some new clothes here, which I'm going to put on, because this is what it's like When we're baptized, he says, you put on new clothes. Something that's completely different. There we go. Oh. We got new clothes. So when God looks at us, he's going to see us differently. This is what Isaiah said. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and clothed me in a robe of righteousness. So Jesus has given us new clothes. And we are in Christ. That's what it says. So when God looks at us, if we're Christians, when we come to the pearly gates, Jesus, God looks at us, and in Christ, what will he see? He will see not me, not my righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus that's surrounding me because I'm in Christ. This is what Paul says. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. In Christ Jesus. You see, I'm in his righteousness, in his clothes. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, it says. And 2 Corinthians, we had this read today. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And again, in Christ Jesus, you were redeemed and forgiven for all your sins. In Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all our trespasses. And again, Galatians says, and when you were baptized, it was all as though you had put on, this is the one we had before, and I'll say it again. When you were baptized, it was as though you had put on Christ in the same way that you put on new clothes. So, when God looks at you in Christ, he sees Christ. He sees Christ's holiness, purity, and perfection. And because you are clothed with Christ, God accepts you. Okay, so these three amazing facts that you might not have thought about Jesus. Jesus, the Creator. So when we go out of this building, or even when we look around in the building, everything we see in the sky, at night, in the day, everything we see, Jesus is the Creator. Secondly, we need a go-between between us and Almighty God. And Jesus is the go-between. He's broken down the barriers that separated people from God. And Jesus is the only way to God. And thirdly, Jesus the clothes giver. Jesus is the only way we can stand before God because he gives us new clothes to wear that are pure and holy. And he forgives us for all the evil things that we have done. Jesus, what an amazing Savior you are. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are all these things and so much more. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come to us and said, come, I want to save you, I want to forgive you, I want to bring you to God the Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you because you are such a wonderful Savior to us. We talk to you now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, our only Lord and Saviour. Amen.